Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Man, what a sound. This sound is age old. And let me give you a fun fact. Annalise and Roy and my family with a track titled Hallelujah, bringing us to 11 minutes after 5. Here's the fun fact. The album where this particular track is featured was released in 1980. Yo! To this day, how many years? 43 years later, we are still marveling at the musical, the lyrical precision coming through and the vocal precision coming through in those sounds. We cross over now to conversation with Utato Sandile Leswana. He's standing by on the line here on Radio Pulpit, my family, 657 AM. On the topic and on the table this afternoon, we are looking at church governance. What does a church that is properly governed look like? We have been dealing with leadership for about 3 weeks, and today we're crossing over to a new subtopic, and we are focusing on order straight after this break.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You're at 657 AM. Radio caring 24 hours a day.
Dada, good afternoon to you, and thank you again for giving us your time.
Good afternoon to you, Ayanda, and also to the listeners of Radio Pulpit.
Yeah, so we really look forward to today's conversation, probably one of my best, one of my favorite topics. Don't always get it right, but it's a favorite topic anyway. Dada, why, in fact, before we even get to the why order is important, what do you mean? What do we mean when we talk about order within the context of governance?
Order within the context of government. The first simple articulation of it is that things must be done in the sequence that they are supposed to be done in. That would be one form of order. Mm-hmm. Now, for instance, a student must pass matric and then apply to the university. Mm. Once he has applied, the application must be considered. Once it has been successful, then the student can register. After registration, attend classes. Mm-hmm. So there's a sequence which makes things predictable. We can know at which stage are you. Order also says people must be set in their correct classifications or be organized in a particular way. Mm. As an example, if you are in a particular age, you need to go to grade 3-0. I think that's what they call it. If you reach a certain age, you must be in grade 1 so that people don't get a chance to bully each other easily because of age difference. So, cars must be separated from donkeys, donkeys from bicycles, that classification of things. So that when you move forward, everything is in its place and everything follows a particular sequence. And those are some of the ideas of what we need order. And also the word order can be an order in the sense of a command or an instruction.
Okay.
So when I ask, why are you doing this? No, my orders given from the proper authority, saying I must do this, and this is how I must do it, and this is the period in which I must do it, and these are the resources I must use. So those are all the kinds of categories of order. There are many, I mean, we've not exhausted them. Which means that life becomes a little bit more certain, a little bit safer, and a little bit more predictable, and a bit more productive in itself.
Why is it important, Dada, for the church to observe order? Yes. We're still talking within the context of governance.
So you must remember that the church, the Christian church, the way that history turned out, the church was not simply a continuation of Jewish order. The Jews were already organized. The Jewish churches were already organized into order, into synagogues and schools and what have you. The church was a movement. People who felt in their hearts that they must follow this guy called Jesus. So it was just almost a mob of people. So there was a need to convert the church from a movement into an institution, because there were things that were clearly going to go wrong. Number one, what is the true doctrine of the church? Because if a new thing comes, you imagine going back to the village you are from, Joburg, you're going back to the home village. You've had some vague notions of what Marxism is and what communism is. And you want to start articulating this thing in your village, but you've not mastered it yourself. So there had to be a need for the people who had heard Christianity to actually start to be indoctrinated in a systematic fashion. What is it that we believe? What is it that we reject? Those are some of the issues in the church that have necessitated order. The clarification of doctrine, and then the clarification of procedure during gathering. What are you supposed to do, and how are you supposed to do it during a gathering? For instance, one of the scriptures that is used today, people who dressed out in a church, and they still do today in charismatic churches, speaking in tongues, and speak for 30 minutes in tongues, and then sit down after they are tired. But the Bible says you can't just stand up and say things that people do not understand. There must be interpretation. There must be interpretation. What are you saying? So we can't have utterances that do not edify the church. There must be some value added after you have spoken.
Tata, that's very interesting, because, you know, in your explanation, I'm starting to understand that perhaps a profitable way to understand order in the church is to maybe look at administrative order, as you've explained, you know, the confirmation of doctrine and order of service, etc. And then the spiritual order. Is there a different, what is the difference between the two, and how important which one actually weighs more, if at all, between the two?
So there's nothing that way more. It depends what the task at hand is. Because the people who can do some of the spiritual work cannot do the other work, because everybody is necessary in the church. So when you go to books like the Book of Romans, the gifts that are listed there are so many, but when you go to, not the book, the gifts, the gifts that are listed in the Book of Romans are so many and varied. And a good number of them would be what people would call the gifts of the laity, if you use that terminology. The people who are not ministers and ministers of sacraments and other things. Then when you go to Ephesians 5, then you have the people who are ministers of the word, and who are looking at the architecture of the church as a vehicle for delivering the ministry of Christ. But you can have other people who are organizers of the church and who must also do architectural work in the church to say, how are we going to minister to the needs of the poor? How do we organize the food parcels? How do we, if, for instance, we're supposed to build a Christian hospital or a Christian school or a Christian clinic, whatever it may be, how do we go about that? It can't be just that somebody's just going to stand there quoting verses. There's a lot of other types of work that needs to be done. So when you look at the Book of Acts, the apostles clarify that, guys, we need to devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We need other people who are spirit-filled and who have faith in them, who are full of faith, to actually minister to the needs of the widow, as an example. So it depends what the need is. If your gift is about talking and ministering and doing that, the issue of how to organize so that everybody got the correct amount of energy, the correct amount of vitamins and this and the other things, you might not get that right because it's not your gift and calling.
Dada, do we have a blueprint of what order would look like in a church setting, even if it's just scripture or scenario? And I ask this because with the many denominations, it almost feels and sounds like order would look differently depending on what church it is and what denomination it is. And yet we still have the body of Christ that must represent Christ here on earth.
So what you need to understand is that there are, for instance, let's maybe use another example of this. For instance, there's this thing that is called a car, right? A car, a Volkswagen Beetle is a car, right? A truck, an 18-wheeler truck is a car. So the guidelines of Christ tells you in categories of what to do. For instance, every church will have something to say about baptism, and all of us have got know that there must be baptism somewhere along the line in this world. As to how in a particular context, in a particular culture, in a particular geography, that then gets interpreted and then implemented in practice is what you are talking about. Because, for instance, somebody comes along and says, I come from the Presbyterian Church. Actually, that was formed in Scotland. Another one says, I come from the Anglican Church. That was formed in England. And then the other one says, I come from Shande. That was formed in Wazoo. And so on. And their cultural context also influence how they interpret these things. But that is not to say there are no guidelines. But those guidelines are not going to produce exactly the same thing. But hopefully, in principle, it will be the same thing.
Okay. Dada, when we started this conversation around governance, we learned, you know, that governance is the implementation of decisions according to a certain standard or set of rules, right? And we also learned that the qualities of good governance is that governance is participatory, facilitates and enables accountability, it is transparent, responsive, enables efficiency and effectiveness. It's results driven and it allows for proper resource management. Okay. And so when I hear, you know, the explanation around the fact that order may look differently for different churches, but actually the same result is achieved. And I think for me, where I would like to sort of understand, okay, so if a person who is non-Christian, right, Dada, is looking at three different churches, let's say the Baptist, Presbyterian, and I don't know, any other, you know. Let's say looking at those three churches, slightly different in terms of how we do things, et cetera, the understanding of the Holy Spirit and all of that, right? What would they need to look for, considering the fact that governance is accountable, it's transparent, it's responsive, et cetera? What would they need to look at in order to determine whether or not the body of Christ is orderly?
Yeah, so what we need to be careful about, there are a few basic guidelines, isn't it? Now, if we're in the Old Testament, because I think this line of question would then say, in the Old Testament, it would have been better because everything is stipulated. Some of the things are even measured. There's a measurement of what size it must be. But now, we have at least two things to consider.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is that every law that could possibly have been uttered by God during the preliminary phase, I call the Old Testament the preliminary phase,
mm-hmm.
because the Bible says, it's not that all those laws have been given up, but they are summed up in one law, basically, which has got two sides to it. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself, mm-hmm. and love the Lord. So then it means now we are entering the kingdom of love.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. the law that we have, no matter how undetailed it is, but everything that you do must demonstrate the love of neighbor and the love of the Lord.
Mm.
Two, it must be done by faith, because anything that is not of faith is sin.
Mm.
Right? So we must have faith in God, but also have faith in the love of God, the love of God for us. And that love is in us, which is set abroad in our hearts, so that we may love our neighbors. So, if an outsider, for instance, on Sunday, I was standing at the pulpit preaching. I finished preaching. Two guys walk into the church, and they are attending the church service, but I've just already finished preaching. So, now, I don't know these two guys, but I announce from the pulpit, because everybody is looking at me, these guys are entering from the back of the church. So I announce to the stewards that the stewards must pay attention to those two guys that have entered, and they are to my left at the back, so that if they enter there, the minimum, if they didn't hear me preach, because I was still going to pray for the sick at that time, at least they must actually get love from the stewards. The stewards must go there, get the details of the guys, and see if there's anything they need or anything that needs to be done for these guys, so that they are embraced, they are loved.
Yeah.
So, anything that you do, and when we examine it carefully, we cannot trace love in it. And love is detailed in 1 Corinthians 13. Then we must be able to say, yes, you've done what you've done, and you have good intentions, but we cannot see that you acted, for instance, like the Good Samaritan in this case.
Mm.
Or any other case that Jesus used to demonstrate how we must practice love.
Sure, that's a serious challenge. It's a serious challenge, Dada B. In fact, maybe, yeah, it is a serious challenge, and maybe we perhaps need to ask ourselves, is order an expectation, Dada? Does God expect the church to be orderly? And we won't be able to answer that in 30 seconds, because we have to cross over to the news. Can we maybe come back and just answer that question? Does God expect us, my family, this afternoon, does God expect order? You know, if we had to look at God, our Heavenly Father, you know, as our master, which he is. And if we had to look at, you know, how we ought to manage the things of God, would order be one of our KPIs? This is a question I'm putting out now to the floor. And if you would like to contribute to this conversation, please do let us know and drop us a message on 0826572729. What are your thoughts around the application of order in the church in our time? It is 30 minutes after 5, and time for us to cross over to have a look at the latest in the news. Your responses and contributions, my family, on 0826572729.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today. You're tuned into Spectrum.
Imagine a place where young people can get answers to difficult questions, seek advice on issues that they struggle with, listen to uplifting music, and find relevant and godly content that can help them shape their identity. All this while also having fun in a safe space and environment. Well, the new I Am Youth website is just the place where you can find this and so much more. Go to iamyouth.co.za for an experience that will stay with you for life. I Am Youth. Life Explained.
You're on 657 AM Radio with the truth in his voice.
We're back with Conversation this afternoon, my family, with Utatu Sandi Leswana standing by on the line. The question on the table this afternoon, and that we are opening up to you, my family. According to your knowledge of the Word of God, is order part of God's expectation for the church in our time? Please do let us know what your thoughts are around that. The topic this afternoon is governance in the church, and we are looking at order as the subtopic for our discussion. And joining us back on the line, Dr. Sandi Leswana. Dada, let me hand it over to you. What would your thoughts be around God's expectation in the area of order?
Okay. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14:40, the Bible says, but all things should be done decently and in order.
Mm.
Now, the Bible says all things to be done decently and in order. So the word all things does not preclude anything. Because once you say all things, it means everything. So we are not, first of all, supposed to be people of disorder.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I thought of something that in another scripture, it says God is not the author of confusion.
Right.
Right? So, are we together? So now imagine something like this, right? The Bible says God has set all the stars in place.
Mm-hmm.
And he even counts them and numbers them and he knows them by name. Now, imagine that we are living this life on earth and then God, on a random basis, decides that on any given day, he can cause the sun to rise from any direction.
Yeah.
And he can cause any star to be anywhere at any time of the day. He can cause a lion overnight to be a vegetarian.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. Where there is just no order in the life that we live. What do you think would happen to us? How do we plan our lives? You don't even know what you have in your yard.
Mm-hmm.
Your dog wake up in the morning, it's a vegetarian, all sorts of things. So there can be no science, there can be absolutely nothing. So God says to Titus, Paul says to Titus, Titus, I left in Crete that you may put certain things in order. So the church has not yet started if the matter of order has not yet been put in place. If order has not yet been put in place in the church, then the church is not yet established.
Sure. That's very interesting, Dada. So, again, and it's going to sound, I'm not disagreeing with anything that, we've learned today. I'm just simply trying to stretch the point, for further understanding. So somebody may be listening and thinking, so which order then do we observe? I know I've already asked for the blueprint. And maybe another way to ask that question, what is the opposite of order?
So the Bible says everything must be done in order and in decency. So one of the things that we would cause us to notice that there's no order, that there would be no decency.
Sure, that is so abstract.
Then,
that is really abstract, Dada, but I hear you.
No, let's continue with it.
Mm-hmm.
The order that God has done, for instance, if you read the Bible, it says to the widows. Teach them this. To the young women, teach them this. To the young men, teach them this. To the older men, teach them this. Right? So, first of all, it means that God, according to your age group, there are certain expectations that the Bible tells you. And those expectations could be part of what it means to be decent. For instance, you know, that and I'm sorry to use this example, I wouldn't want to sound as if I'm targeting women. But one of the things that I think Peter taught about women was that women must learn to have a quiet spirit and not to have an outward focused type of beauty. But even if you have beauty outside that you created yourself through makeup, through hairstyles and dresses and scarves, but let it not surpass the beauty that is inside. In fact, let it be informed by the beauty that you have. We cannot have people who don't believe in Christianity telling us that Sandile is an ugly guy, and then we say there's no definition of ugliness. If we wanted to ask for a favor, it's better if we don't go to that guy. He has got no kindness. He has got no hospitality. He is unable to think generous thoughts towards another human being. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all the congregation, of the Lord's people. So no matter whether we have a clear, unambiguous definition of order, but what we must also understand is that at a later stage, you must not be found to be involved in disorder, because the Bible says, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. So, for instance, I'm sorry to use this example. If we go to Parliament there and we watch how the EFF is doing things in Parliament when they disrupt. Now, it is intentional that they don't want things to be done in order and decency.
So you see, I think that's why my thoughts exactly are that it's so abstract and almost relative. You know, I'm still okay within the context of the Word of God. I'm still not finding a place where, yes, we've gotten scripture, you know, around things like, you know, how we dress, how we look, how we worship, order of service, and all of that. But there is a certain block within the definition or understanding of order that remains abstract. For example, you know, let's talk about the length of time, you know, of different church services, you know, and I'm not trying to steer you away from the EFF's example. It's going to be very parallel what I'm trying to bring in to say that how long should a minister preach? How long should the church start? Do you realize that a lot of churches don't always, you know, stick to the time to the absolute T, you know? Somebody may look at that as disorder. Somebody may look at that as the will of God. We end with that?
Yes. There are other considerations here.
Right.
That as we progress in time, we end up knowing.
Okay.
For instance, scientists will tell you that even when you are studying, just sitting studying seriously or working, doing office work or desk work, maybe let's call it that. Every 25 to 30 minutes, you need to take a 5 minute.
Okay.
That is what science tells us, because economics, after that period, it becomes useless. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So your productivity, if you sit for 6 hours straight, your productivity is less than a person who sits for periods of 25 minutes or 30 minutes with a 5 minute break every 25 or 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So even when you are planning the church service, at a certain point, one of the important things in the church service is to actually have a lesson in the church service, among other things. So you need to be able to say, if these people have got to concentrate on what I'm about to say, how long must it be if we understand human capability already? How do I structure that for effectiveness? So it can't be that my aim is that I teach the congregation that Sunday is a Sabbath day, so there must be no other things you plan. The church is the plan, the preacher is the plan, and I'm going to put you here and do as I please with you on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Even if the limits of productivity are not observed, and some of that activity is useless. So we are not taught to be fruitless people. Jesus in John 15 says we must be fruitful and we must bear fruit that remains.
Right.
So you must not do fruitless activity.
Before we let you go, Dada, thank you so much for clarifying that. I think we've seen many times, particularly in your leadership echelons in the church, where something that is presumably expected, within the context of order, it's not always upheld. And that's why I'm saying I think this is such an abstract topic, and I wonder if as the church we will ever get to a point where we're able to point one another. I love, the concept of love, that whatever we put in place, it must come from love and it must serve the purposes of God's love. And of course, we implement that and we execute that from a place of faith. That I get, right? But now, as people, as we continue to evolve, even in terms of processes, in terms of the order of worship, in terms of the platforms of worship, even, somebody may think it's disorderly for a pastor, for example, to walk up to the pulpit with with a iPad instead of a Bible. You know what I mean? There's certain nuances.
Well, I've been confronted about that.
Can I please also be the second person to confront you? We are even like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I mean, it's so relative when you actually think about the intricacies of order, the definition and the implementation.
But the other thing that you need to also accept is that, for instance, if we are not careful, people could end up saying an airplane is a demon, computers are things of Satan.
Yeah.
Now, so we have to understand that Christianity is also a Christianity of technology and advancement, God is a God of technology. So in context and technology, you are governed by love. Everything you do, you want to do it in the gentle and most edifying fashion to the next person.
Mm.
For instance, I went to preach with a laptop this Sunday. I actually carried the physical laptop. Because I'm saying, part of what I was saying, other than struggling with the printer, is to say, in the first place, why did I want to print this thing? Because printing, we've already been told that is damaging the environment by itself. So we need to learn how to carry our sermons in a digital form.
Sure, man.
In anything.
Yo, Dada, that's that's I don't, maybe it's frying at my religion. Because I'm thinking in Dogokwana. Can you imagine? Let me maybe ask it as a question, Dada. Do you think we need to come up with a standard? And I mean, I'm asking this extremely cautiously, because we've seen the deep flaws of organized religion. We've seen that because what organized religion and strict administration does, it shuts out the flow of the spirit, and we don't want that. We're praying for revival. We don't know how it's going to happen, so we don't want to be stiff and unyielding to the move of the spirit, because we've erected such strong long and high walls of order and structure. How do we best achieve order in the church? And after having achieved...
Let me use a different example for you in this question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever been ministered to by Christian scientists or Christian engineers.
Yeah, it's long and tiring, usually.
Whose purpose is to expose us to the world of the Spirit.
Right.
So, first of all, you know, I was listening to one engineer who became a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, look, the first thing you've got to understand is that the Spirit, anything that we say is spiritual, is because we cannot measure it in a laboratory.
Mm.
So, for instance, love, you can't take a person to the laboratory and weigh them to determine how much that love they've got. But love is a very real thing.
Nope.
So who can say this, that without the spiritual world, without even the Holy Spirit, you cannot do science and technology?
Okay.
Right. And bear in mind that what they produce in science and technology is so structured and so orderly, but they have to be governed by the Spirit and guided by the Spirit to do it. So a person will need to distinguish between order and the egotistical spirits of people who want to control other people. You see, I can also do 10 rules or 15 rules, but those rules have got nothing to do with love, have got nothing to do with scripture. All they have to do is for me and for you to understand that I'm in charge here.
Sure.
And for me to exercise power over you. But I've got no proper scriptural basis, there's no spiritual basis, there's no edification, there's no love. It's ego, it's the flesh. So some of the things that we want to blame order for, it's just the flesh of those leaders that is introducing that thing. It's the flesh.
Okay, Dada. So we already understand, that the flesh is an enemy to order, right? That we can we agree on that?
We can agree to that.
Yeah.
The flesh is an enemy to godly order.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for that emphasis. It's very important. The flesh is an enemy to godly order, right? And yet abilities, and I mean, these are spiritual abilities, right, are required in order to enforce order. So how do we manage that once we've achieved what we think is order, right? How do we then enforce or manage order and ensure that order continues? Yes.
You see, order is going to continue through discipleship.
Amen. Okay.
Because once you have taught people the love of God and the word of God, and the word of God must be taught as a book of life.
Mm.
Right? So, basically, the topic that we are teaching freedom and we are teaching love.
Mm.
Because when love comes in, freedom comes in. Okay?
Right.
But because people have been discipled, when you give them more freedom, they use that freedom more wisely because the word of God makes them wise. And how do they become wise? They became wise because they've been discipled, or if you like, mentored, instructed, and trained in the use, in the correct use of the word of God. So, when a person is fully trained in the lifestyle of love, they should be given more freedom and they should enjoy more freedom. But when they have more freedom, they are more loving. They are not destroyers.
Sure. I think that's a good place to leave it. I just wanted to also you know, just to end off by saying, I do think that love can be measured, by the way. I think 1 Corinthians 4-8 gives us a pretty good sort of measuring yardstick of love, don't you think?
In a spiritual sense, remember that I was giving you an engineer's
right. Thank you so much for this. I didn't realize this conversation would be so complex, and I think maybe I also just complicated it a little bit, but it was necessary because wow. I mean, I anyway, it's really exciting now because it's just given me so much to think about around, I think, my traditional understanding of order. And I suppose I hope that it's challenging somebody to sort of ask themselves a few other questions around the issue of order and how we've administered order. You know, you said something really powerful that we need to be careful not to administer order in order to advance, you know, the nuances of our own ego, and that order must be premised on love by faith. Sure, that is a mouthful. We really appreciate it, Dada. Thank you so much. Where do we connect with you?
Yes, you can find us on Rehoboth Bible Seminars on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if you Google Sandy Lesana on the internet, it's easy. I'm easy to find.
On the internet that the scientists created.
Thank you
so much for your time, Tatu Sandy Leswana, my family. Wow, that took a direction that I didn't really expect. Very, very pleasant what has come out of that. And I hope that it's going to help someone, you know, look at the importance of order and how we administer order a little bit differently, or at least that it enhances what you already know about God's order. That has taken us to 56 after 5, your time here on Spectrum, my family, with only 4 minutes before the top of the hour. Of course, Dwayne and the team are on the other side of 6 o'clock. He has great sounds, really awesome sounds of music as we wind down the journey to the Spectrum this afternoon with myself, Ayanda. Much appreciation, my family, to Yaku Farve, the chairperson, president of the Golden Triangle Chamber of Commerce, chatting to us about the Rocking the Vowel Carnival that happened this past weekend. And of course, much appreciation to Dada Osandile Sona. Appreciate you, my family, this afternoon. Here's a great way to end our program. Lionel Peterson with I Love You, Lord.
As easy as the touch of a button, the message of life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you. Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.